the church, we don't...
Joshua, lesson 3.
And we wonder why our churches are falling apart all over the world, because we don't deal with sin. And sin is destructive, and it should break our hearts. It should not be a point of judgment. It should be a point of broken heart. We should never want, for instance, the sinner to leave the church, although that's the issue with it. It should be that we want all of us to repent, all of us, and never look at ourselves as better than another person, or more important than another person. Shall we dance? It's not even that big a purse, girl.
Sorry, down at the bottom. She's hung up.
My suggestion would be to turn it off.
I would have if I'd known it was there.
No, I don't. Those of you who need it on for some reason, leave them on. I'm not saying that, but most of us forget to turn it off when we come in here. Me, I never turn it on, so it's not a problem.
No,
I don't. I hear bleh. That's as loud as a ring.
Miss Kiss,
yeah.
I was going to say, too, that it, as far as community and the world, it's the same thing with suffering in the world.
Yes.
The Bible tells us specifically.
Yes.
And I just watched a video about that where he was talking about that.
Yes.
And just we can't say, well, that's suffering. Like, we should be suffering because people in other countries are being persecuted, put to death.
Brothers and sisters,
yes,
who are part of our community.
Yes.
And if we don't pay attention to missions, mm-hmm. we don't get that.
Yeah.
And we don't have to be like a missionary to go out ourselves if God didn't call us to that, but we need to pay attention to the missions because they're the ones who get back to us the information that's going around the world. I was listening to a book I'm going to go get, but the man who wrote it is a professor, and he has a friend who is from behind in China. I'm going to say the Iron Curtain, because part of China is very free and part of it is very not, and I don't know what the difference is. I've yet to figure it out. But he said the one thing, and we wouldn't get this in our country, he said the one thing that allows a democracy to be a democracy is people of faith. Because they believe in rules and regulations, and so therefore they obey authorities. Well, we're getting a country that doesn't obey authorities at all. Why? Because we've eliminated the Bible, we've eliminated God, we've eliminated. I mean, pretty much. And this hit me. And I'm not trying to be political here, guys, because I don't want to go that route. But political is still part of our system. I remember when Nixon did what Nixon did, I watched an entire generation go to hell with authority. And it has never come back again. Their children disdained authority more than they did. Some of them swung back. But outside of the church, there is a disrespect for authority. And being a child of the 60s, I have to struggle with being respectful of authority, but I do it on the basis of God's word, not on the basis necessarily of how I feel, because somebody may not be a very good authority, but God still has them there, so I have to pray. You know, I pray for my country, I pray for my state, I pray for my church and our elders, and I am so thankful for our elders. You have no idea. I have been in churches
Amen.
Where they're just inept.
Mm-hmm.
Or figureheads, and our guys work their little hearts out, loving this body and struggling on our behalf. So we are very fortunate people. Did we have prayer requests here? I didn't mean to go on that. That wasn't something I thought about ahead of time.
We need to pray for the friends of ours that Mike got diagnosed with pancreas.
And where did he live?
Mostly.
Okay. So
we've known him for over 25 years.
How old is he?
I'm thinking he's 64.
So he has children, grandchildren?
Yes.
Okay, that's the reason I asked the age to see. Of course, I'm 66, and I have no grandchildren, never will. But
they know the Lord, so we know he's gone.
That's the most important part.
Yes.
And Ellen.
I have a young friend, she's in her 30s, that is struggling with a lot of issues, and she's asked me to kind of mentor her over a little online and by the phone, and I got my first email from her this morning, and I can't share, but I promised her I'd keep her stuff confidential, but it's just overwhelming, and I'm thinking, it's way above me.
Did you ask her if you and I could talk about that?
I will ask her that, okay. And I was going to ask her also, because my husband knows her, if I can share with him, so those are the two things I think would help.
And you tell her, I will never know her name.
Of course.
Okay?
Yeah, I will tell her that.
That helps her.
Anyway, I know the Lord can help me, and it's challenging me to kind of deep. Because it's like, okay, I know that's not okay, but why? Mm. You know, where's the scripture? You know, where? How can I direct her? So he'll cause me to dig in a little bit.
You've been working on this for months, girl.
I guess I have.
The Lord's going to use it.
But anyway, I need prayer. She needs her.
And she's from Idaho, so we're going to call her Miss Idaho.
Yeah.
And Mr.
Gordon's sister in Idaho is in the hospital. They found her. Somebody found her on the floor that had been there. She'd been there 2 days. And she's slurred speech. She can't walk.
My grandmother, when she died, she had been on the floor for a week. And nobody, she was in a home, not a home like a convalescent home, but a retirement home. You'd think somebody would have noticed. And she was very social. Nobody noticed. She wasn't in places that she normally was. They found her. She had been cancer of the stomach for a week. And she didn't die because of that, but she didn't. She died a few days later. Those are hard on our hearts to know those things.
My mother-in-law, too, is not doing real well.
No, she isn't.
I almost didn't come today. Rusty got home in time for me to come. I wouldn't have left her. So she's on the antibiotic, which makes her tired and weak anyway.
She still have a headache?
This morning she had another one, a neck pain again.
Yeah, it's the neck that's doing the headache.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
Well, we're getting older.
So, you know, we need to, like, dig our heels in and be ready to give her 24-hour care.
Yeah.
Do that. It's just a change. So she's a wonderful Christian woman, and God
loves
her.
And you love her. Yeah. Okay. And God hasn't chosen to take her home yet.
I'd like to pray for my sister Helen. She's been going through a difficult situation, a medical situation, and she fell Sunday when I got home from Sunday school class. She had fallen at church, hit her head. Then yesterday she was not doing well, so I took her into the Everett Clinic, and she has a procedure. Her, what's happening is her esophagus has closed, and she can't eat there, and everything's coming up. And so the big deal now is that she doesn't get dehydrated. She is able to drink water now.
I've heard of it the other way, where it won't close. I've never heard of it that it won't open.
Well, what's happening is everything gets caught.
Right, I got the picture.
That's it, right, okay. But anyway, they're doing a procedure, but she's so tiny, they had to use a child's instrument to get...
They're doing a transesophageal echocardiogram.
So anyway, that's happening on Friday.
Okay, Friday. Well, you got to be...
Well, she's been going through this not eating for 2-3 months until they finally have done something. So the poor girl, she just hasn't been able to eat. She's really weak.
Yeah.
And so anyway, lift her up. She's very discouraged.
Lord God, we just come before you as our Father, as the Father of many, as the Father of your children, all of your children, all over the world, Lord. Help give us a bigger vision of all over the world. Help us remember why we pray for one another. Not just to check off a list, but to be involved and concerned for. May we have your heart, Father God. May we have the loving kindness that you have, which is everlasting and penetrating and full of grace and life. And Father, I know I'm going to not remember names on this, but I'm trying to pray around the room. Joanna's sister, Lord, and this transesophageal geocal thingamajiggy she's going to be having, that they're going to go down there. Father, help them find what's wrong and find what to be able to do to heal this, to a subterfuge to this, some way to be able to deal with her lack of being able to eat. Father, bring life back to her frail body. give her strength again, Lord. We pray for Gordon's sister, who is in Idaho. Lord, that, again, you're the one who knows what's wrong, and you know the one why she was there. And, Father, make these doctors be attentive in reality, whether she's old or not. Father, she is a human being, and I pray that they treat her with grace and mercy. And then we pray for Moses Lake, Lord, and this pancreatic cancer. Lord, I know that's pretty much a death sentence, because you can't, I don't believe you can give someone else a pancreas. So we ask, Lord, for all the grace that encompasses that for his entire family, his children, his grandchildren. Lord, we thank you that he knows you, and we pray, Father, that they see in him that example of one who trusts you through difficult times. Father, I can't see any other reason for having people linger even for a little while other than to be able to give praise and glory to you and to make, in that sense, their transition easier for their family. So we pray for this guy. And then I think of, did I miss somebody here? I think of Ellen and her mother-in-law. And Lord, you know she does love you and she is your child. And I'm sure there's a huge part of her that wants to be with you and wants to not put up with all the pain that her body has from this world and its situations. But Lord, I pray for that spirit, that she not get weary and lose heart, that she keep her heart and mind on you in this. We pray for her neck. God, if some way they can get that neck back into place and adjust so that she doesn't have this headache and this continual headache. Lord, we just ask for mercy here. And I know I'm forgetting somebody. Who am I forgetting?
Her friend.
Your friend. Oh, yes. Lord, we pray for Idaho. Lord, she is a woman who has sought you and loves you. And Ellen loves her very much and has, they've been involved in their lives off and on for many years. And I pray for wisdom for Ellen. Lord, for the knowledge that she you have been giving her the last few months and the grace to be able to have the words to speak and to say. I pray for this young woman that she would, in truth, Lord, seek you with all her heart, that she would repent from the things she needs to repent from and be able to love the people who are doing things to her that shouldn't be being done. We all of us, Lord, ask, how in the situations of our lives do we keep our eyes on you? And we need you to give us that answer. And we ask this in the name of your Son. And we pray for this lesson today. Amen. Praying for food. I always forget to pray for the food. Get going on to everything under the sun, get food. So how'd you guys do with your study this week? Whoops, I got that line. Is that on? Okay. Glad I don't have to do anything.
Oh, can I make a...
Oh, an announcement. Yeah.
I have a request and an announcement. So after Kit finishes with this study, and I don't know if you're going to add anything on yet, but...
We're going to do one day on rest to prepare us to do one Saturday later on in the summer.
Okay. So whatever...
For those who want to be, it's not a class thing, if you want to come back.
Whatever...
calendar.
Whatever we add on and whenever we start, this summer we're going to be doing another Lord series book on Ephesians. Lord is at Warfare, Help Me to Stand. It's going to be a really good one. The August 5th and 12th, I will be out of town, so we have no study on August 5th and 12th. The 19th will be back in session. So I presume I'll be doing the Lord's series by then. So
we've messed it up pretty well before, so who knows?
If not, I'll miss you. But the other thing is, I do not have the gift of books. If anybody would like to help or take over the ordering of books,
organizational,
like collecting
of somebody who's organizational,
and passing out and making sure everybody gets one, that would be just fabulous with me.
With both of us.
With us, yes. If we could have an administrative assistant to help with any part of that that you would like to do, that would be fabulous.
Or all of it. It's not that big a deal. Basically, what we do is just have a piece of paper and go around signing up for those who want the next class, and then you would order it. So you need to have room on a credit card. You're not going to pay for it, but people will have to pay you back for it. And then what I would do, we tell each person, let's say it says 1975 in the store, and I show you how to do that. You don't say 1975. You wait until you find out how much the postage is going to take. Otherwise, you have to pay for the postage, too. So what you do is just divide the whole by what everybody put is, however number is. Let's say it's 18. Then you divide it by 18. And then what you do is just have the books here and check off people's names as they pay for them. That's what you do. And it's only during one section. Yeah.
Like shop around for the book?
No.
Or you just order? There's one spot you go to order.
No. Yeah.
It always works out that I'm able to pay, because everybody always pays the
right
week
away.
Before or
yeah.
that day.
Yeah.
I never have any trouble with that. And then I just pay the bill when it comes in. You know, by then I figured out the tax so that when I put everything into my account and account for it, it covers the bill, the tax, the shipping, that kind of
thing.
So
could you buy the books if I figured out how many you needed?
In other words, could you put it on your computer? Could you put it on your credit card?
We did a women's ministry.
You know what? The problem has been, this is very simple. Pastor Dan is the one who holds onto the credit card, and I can never find it anywhere. So we do need to do something about that. And
I don't think anybody would mind if we had a credit card. That would be easier because all you have to do.
Well, just even the numbers.
But it's just keeping track of the checks.
Yeah.
Do we have a credit, a church credit?
Oh, we actually have, our Bible study could spend up to $900.
That's what I mean. We could get the amount, take it to Julie at the financial.
Well, that's what I need to find out.
Okay.
Because you would be the one to know what to do with that behind the scenes anyway. Okay.
Credit card? No.
Well, the church actually does. I just have never been able to get the card at the time I need it, so I just give up and don't even try. Because I don't have time to run all over Timbuktu trying to find something that somebody else doesn't know where it is.
I need to get with you to find out the ordering site and that type of thing.
Yep, yeah. I will help you with that. It's just somebody else to collect the money and the checks and keep track of it, who's paid, who
I thought it. You were really weird when you offered. I thought...
Well, that was only because you were just about to teach at the retreat.
That's
and that was
true.
Such a huge burden that I know how to do it, so I offered. But
okay.
It's not my gift.
Taken care of.
Right.
Okay. Anything else? This is the first time we've had business for 20 plus minutes. You don't get to do that again. That was your yearly shot at it. So, how did you guys do with your study this week? This is actually more a straightforward study, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's pretty much, I was trying to figure out, let's see, what will I do for the board? Well, I'll just go through the thing and put it up on the board. There's really not a whole lot else to do.
I never answered my question.
Oh, I'm sorry.
When I finished last week.
About Sabbath? Okay. Well, you can bring it up now. Bring it up when we get there.
Okay.
He doesn't say it as Sabbath.
No.
But he says it as seventh day. So, I don't, you know, there are a lot of their systems they didn't pay any attention to in the desert, and I'm wondering if the Passover is the beginning of now starting this all up again. Remember when they have the Passover? So I don't really actually have an answer for you.
Okay.
Just like it's like sometimes if the answer isn't said, it is the seventh day. We celebrate ours as the first day of the week, which is Resurrection Day, but the Jewish people still celebrate the Sabbath on Saturday, Friday night to Saturday, I should say. So yes, I don't know.
Okay,
because he didn't say anything about it.
I didn't.
And the thing is we can always speculate with what we're studying, but you've got to know the difference between speculating and taking a stand on something. And at this point, we're speculating because he doesn't call it the Sabbath. You want some?
No, it just looked different.
Did any of you have a hard time with parts of the passages in this section? And if you didn't, you didn't read chapter 8 very well. I don't mean studying. I'm just talking about emotionally. I have a very difficult time with this part of Joshua and other places.
Well, we have the whenever in 1 Samuel 15, when Saul disobeyed, kept some of the stuff and said, oh, well, it's for the Lord,
yeah.
You know, which was quick thinking on his feet kind of a thing. And
you always have to ask yourself, did he really believe in God?
Yeah. But he didn't get stoned to death. He didn't get burned. It was just God was telling him. And, I mean, he got severely disciplined. And the king's whole thing was taken away. And trouble in the house and that sort of thing. But he didn't get stoned and burned with fire.
She's talking about chapter 7, actually. She's talking about the Achan, and Achan, when he got caught with the stuff under the ban, he did get stoned. But she just was talking about in Samuel when Saul did something. And we'll talk about it when we get there. I would throw out this possibility that God deals with leaders differently.
Right, because,
Well, then we have Ananias and Sapphira, but they, again, were not leaders. But they were leading the people astray.
But they got zipped.
Yes, they did, twice,
yeah.
Both
they
of them. And you always wonder, why don't the rest of us when we lie?
Mercy.
Well, and we deserve it.
Yeah.
We do not deserve mercy. We do not deserve the grace of God.
So maybe because it's the beginning of something, like with chapter 7, it's the beginning of setting Israel up in the land, and they're going through the whole process of purifying. It's handled differently. Plus, as with Ananias and Sapphira, they did not repent, neither did he. And we'll talk about how we know that when we get there. Anything else might bother you?
Well, I got something that bothers me. Did all the walls around the city fall down? Or just the one wall where they were going in? And if all the walls came down, what happened to Rahab's house? Because they are all still in the house.
Which? What is the very statement after he talks about the walls falling, by the way, not down,
straight,
but out?
Flat.
Flat.
Like that.
Flat. He didn't say out. He said it.
Well, it is, though. That's the only way you could get flat, either this way or that way.
They could go down in the ground.
That's what I pictured. It's just straight down.
Except if they walked right in. Can you imagine walking over walls that would have basically, even the rubble would have been high?
No, they went down in the ground.
Oh, we're doing a little bit of the Old Testament getting rid of the guys into the ground thing. All right, well.
Well, I heard Jericho was on kind of a hill, and they had to defend it. And
so why didn't her house fall?
Well, what was the next verse, though?
Yeah, but
I don't know.
No, that's very important.
Well, it said
all
down flat, so flat is flat.
Yeah, but okay, we won't even debate that because we don't care.
Okay.
Whatever it was, it did it all, and it was weird because nobody expected that. They thought their walls were permanent and up forever, and all of a sudden there's nothing to protect them anymore.
You mean 21? They utterly destroyed everything in the city? You mean after the walls fell down?
Well, keep reading.
Well, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight ahead. And they took the city.
Keep going.
They utterly destroyed everything in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and donkey with the edge of the sword.
Next verse.
And Joshua said to the two men who spied the land, go into the harlot's house.
Yes. And?
It hadn't been crumbled down.
But he knew where it was. So there's one of two possible options. Either that part didn't crumble down, and hers was still up, or it was still just visible and they knew where it was.
Because in verse 23, they were all there in the house. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, and then he doesn't tell them, go into the rubble and dig out and find Rahab.
No.
The house is still there.
Take a rescue team.
Yeah.
You know, the archaeological studies, there's two walls.
That's what it's about to say.
I think they're 15 feet apart. The front wall that's really close to the hill, I'm trying to think of how...
That would almost have to be one wall, though.
No, there's two walls.
Well, we had Rahab let those guys out the window, and they went right down to the ground.
But
so
the houses were built
like between
on
the walls.
Top. Right.
On top
right.
of the walls.
Right.
So her window would still be there.
Still
and
been
so
there,
that
okay.
was almost like a, you know, like what we have, a cement
way.
Wall around. You might have been able to walk underneath these walls,
the
but they were
way.
Really high, so they were up. And with the archaeological studies, they said that it did fall flat. I mean, all the stuff. I mean,
tipped over.
We say the thing is flat, but there was they were all bricks and mortar, and they weren't real stable. It doesn't look like. I mean, they weren't put together, you know, with solid.
They weren't like
certain sized
with
bricks.
Rebar.
Yeah. So
right, no rebar.
It just looked like an earthquake hit, and this crumbled and fell this way. And then the second wall was in also in the same direction, and the first one slid down the hill, and they found lots of ash and stuff under there for the burning. But this, the house that's on top, could have slid to some degree with the wall, because even in the findings, some of it was intact a little bit.
And so again, we have speculation.
Yeah, they're conjecturing that God used an earthquake, but that doesn't.
Which he still could have.
He could have.
He has a perfect right to do that, but when he did it is the specific
yeah.
point. I mean, it's like people will say that. I hear this that my geology friends all the time that, well, sure, the Red Sea, you know, yeah, the water went in, but it's because of the winds were blowing. It's like, you're talking about in a short span of time, even if that were true that God. That somehow God used something to do this, the ground was dry. You have to keep remembering the ground. And like I said last week, if you've ever been around, like, a river or... I mean, think of Death Valley, the picture of Death Valley. This is just water on the top, and it leaves, and you see cracked ground all over the place. And it took forever to do that. But if you have a lake or a river, you go squish down into the thing. I mean, you know, when you go fishing, unless you've got rocks, you're going into the muck. Just
yeah,
the reality.
Your lure drags around in the muck, and if it's not above the muck, you don't catch fish.
Right.
And God controls everything.
Exactly. So whatever he uses
yeah.
is up to him. The point is, it was miraculous,
yeah,
regardless.
And when these things happen when he wants them to, I think that's...
Yeah, the time
miraculous.
Is like, he says, now, wait until this dries up. And then the priests have their feet in it, and then you're going to go across. Well, you know, that didn't just happen.
Well,
God is the one in charge of that.
God can fast forward nature, too.
Exactly. But he did it at his time, and that's the whole point. But we still have to deal with dry ground. That's miraculous. Even more
well,
than
he
the...
He can fast forward the drainage, you know.
But that's what
it's
I mean.
Still a miracle.
It's his hand.
Yeah.
However he processed it, it's his hand. Well, none of you guys are talking about the slaughter in chapter 8, so I'm not going to talk about it now. I think
well,
it's very difficult. We'll talk about it.
The daughters and the sons.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
They shouldn't have done what God told them not to do. You mean the city?
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're talking about God. They got defeated because they had Achan in the camp.
So we'll talk about when we get there. Okay, chapter 5. What did you see? You were supposed to look at the process in chapter 5. What did you see as the process? He started out,
chapter 5, you get immediately that the sons of Israel, until they had crossed, that their hearts melted, the people of Canaanites, their hearts melted, there was no spirit in them any longer because of the sons of Israel. Why?
Because they saw what they did. They knew they came from Egypt. They knew that they had defeated the two kings. They knew that they were coming.
Was it really Israel they're afraid of? What?
Their God. C-A-N-A-A.
Two A's.
No, two M's. Just one A.
Oh, okay.
One N.
I knew something was doubled.
Yeah.
I have it somewhere in my visual.
Oh, the first verse.
For those of you who don't know, she is my official speller corrector. She has been for 25 years. It's her position.
No A after before the I either. Just I-C-E. There you go.
Well, you guys know what it is.
That's why.
But is it really Israel they're afraid of?
No, it's God.
It depends on faith. What did Rahab say?
I know that God.
So she looked at God and knew it was God who was doing it. But here I do think it's the Israelites. They think they have some kind of magical power. Which is why when we get to chapter 6 and 7, they're not going to seem so formidable. Well, 6. When they fail with I the first time, it makes sense. They go, oh, well, they don't always win. Because they're not really looking at God. They're looking at Israel. So keep thinking that. All right, so...
The Amorites and the Canaanites, all the kings, those kings heard how the Lord had dried up the waters.
What do we know about the Amorites? Just to remind ourselves, because this is really my answer for you to chapter 8. What do we remember about the Amorites? Have we heard about them before?
Yes.
Where?
Well, they're from
When they were coming up from Egypt, when they were still on the east side of the Jordan, the Amorites attacked the rear guard or the stragglers
right.
And killed them.
Right. Let's go back even farther. How about all the way back to Genesis 15 and the covenant?
That's why the name is changed. It should be Ammonites.
Well, that's all part in there, except for now we also have Ammonites that are jewels, but that's a whole different thing. Yes.
But they're descendants of Lot.
Because that was Ammon. So we have Lot's descendants are Ammon and Moabites. But what did the covenant say about the Amorites?
That their iniquity is not yet completed.
This is very important, guys, because this is how I can understand God. God waited 400 years before he took Israel into the Promised Land because there were still people that were not fully unrighteous. They're not ripe to unrighteousness. And he waited, which means everybody else in that area was what? Already unrighteous. I said this in the retreat, and I couldn't remember this morning where that verse was. It says that the land spews them out.
It does.
The land spews these people out. Why? Because of their unrighteousness. So when we go into chapter 8 and we are emotional and we think of these little babies and children and wives and mothers, we think, oh, well, they're innocent. They're not innocent. Whether I understand that fully or not, I don't. But I know that God says he's waiting for the sin of the Amorites to be full before he goes into the Promised Land, because he's not going to destroy a righteous people just because he wants the land.
Do you think the same when they marched around the city of Jericho 7 days, that he was waiting perhaps for some of them?
What would be the logic of doing that? I mean, just think about the whole process. They're afraid. And again, what are they afraid of? They're afraid of the people. But Rahab's there, and she was afraid, fearful of God. Not afraid the same way, but fearful of God. They had the proper perspective. If you're watching these people go around, what would you do? Either you're going to mock them because they look like idiots.
Yeah.
Think about it. They look like...
I'd be afraid of what was going to happen next.
Yeah, you're just going around, or that. Mm-hmm. Which gets me more and more fearful, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And then the seventh day, they don't go around just once anymore. And they're silent. Can you imagine how heavy that air was with the silence?
Well, and plus, too, you think about, I mean, it's speculation.
Right.
But the Ark of the Covenant is made of gold.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hot there. It's sunny. It's hot. And what's the gold going to do in the sun? It's just going to be bright and shiny. And who were the ones who were going to be able to see that really well? The people of Jericho who were looking over the wall, and there's this bright, shiny object going around.
Because the people weren't in a nice order. I mean, we always have this picture of a single file going around. Think of how many people there were going around Jericho. They almost had double and triple lines going around. Yeah.
I could not find where it said that the people actually walked around.
Well, the soldiers did. Even if you just take the soldiers, that's 30,000 people.
But not the citizens.
if you take just the soldiers at 30,000 people going around a country that is small enough that it's on no more than 7 acres. You guys have a picture of how big 7 acres is? That's smaller than Kim and Dan's place.
Yeah.
What would be 7 acres around here? Deb, do you know any place that's 7 acres-ish?
Around here?
Yeah, that we... How's that, the tree farm? How big would the tree... The one on Getchell? How big would that be?
Jericho is less than 7 miles.
Oh, that's a good 20 acres.
Yeah,
okay, so that's 20 acres. It'd be less... That would be about a third of that. That's not a lot of space. We used to have 2.5...
My property is 5.2 acres.
How about Gene and Becky's land?
Well, I'm trying to think of what people would have seen.
Yeah. Could it be in terms of like the city block or something?
Right.
Wow.
Do you have any idea? But see, I don't know how big a city block is.
Right, right. Different sizes, but whenever you think about 5 acres.
Well, let me think.
We
had 2.5 acres, so maybe 2 city blocks. It might be 2 city blocks. That is not, when you think of 40,000 warriors, they're not going in single file. They're going multiple rows of people going around. But you're right, the thing that's visual is just the mass of people and the ark and the weird priests and whatever
they were blowing their trumpets the whole time.
But yet all the people shout.
Yeah. Well, it's
there.
The warriors. It would be the
No, he's in verse 7.
But not the like.
She was saying we're not marching.
No, but we got to shout.
Right.
But they weren't marching. So, but it was the warriors that were. And so the warriors would have been intimidating. A bunch of kids and their goats were not going to be intimidating.
It does say, though, in verse 7, it says, then he said to the people,
right,
go forward and march around the city and let the armed men go on before the
priests. But look at verse 9. The armed men went before the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the ark. Mm-hmm. And they continued to blow. And then it doesn't talk about the people.
But Joshua commanded people, saying, you shall not shout.
Now
by saying the people, right, incorporating the...
Now he tells them, do not shout, to be quiet.
Yes.
But then in verse 20, it says, so the people shouted, and the priests blew the trumpets. They weren't supposed to shout until before the trumpets. Or until after the trumpet.
Well, until the day back in the...
I noticed that right off.
Until the trumpet, I tell you, is a shout, then you shall shout.
Right.
And when the people heard the trumpet, then the people shouted.
But the trumpet,
so they shouted before and they shouted after.
No, they only shouted one time.
That was at the end. That was on day 7.
They only shouted one time.
If you read 20.
Verse 20?
Yes. So the people shouted, and the priests blew the trumpet.
Oh, I see what you're saying, yeah.
And when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted.
But they only shouted one time.
That was the official God shout, because that's when the walls dropped. So they could have been hollering, blow the shofar. I holler that all the time.
Plus, we also have to remember with Hebrew things, they are not necessarily...
In order.
In order.
Right.
Yeah. No, I mean, they really aren't. You can't do it like a Greek mind.
Yeah, I know.
Right.
The priest blew the trumpets twice. You know, the 7 times, when the priest blew the trumpet, Joshua said, shout.
Right.
And
right,
so the people shouted, and the priest blew the trumpet.
But like Kit said, it's not necessarily consecutive order, like whenever you're reading in the psalm, and they say it, and then they say it again.
When we get to Isaiah, you will see, because it's just like screams in the book of Isaiah. You cannot go like this. You go like this, and here, and back here, and back there. And if you try to attach all those in a nice line without going back and forth, you're totally confused. You have to sit and think. This is why it's so important to understand context. Because when I'm reading something that's before something else, and I have to take that chunk and put it to understand the way we think before something else. And if I'm reading here and it says this was after this, I may have to take this chunk and move it over here. And for us to understand books in the Old Testament, because the Jewish people didn't And I can't say just Jewish. It actually makes more sense, believe it or not, to think that way. Because it would be like if I'm saying,
those things we were making, we were making those things and we were making bandages. By the way, I don't think it's a really good idea to use colored cotton. And, I had the hardest time washing. Do you see how I'm jumping? But if she knows what I'm talking about, she's able to follow me. And sometimes the learning process is not this nice, straight,
linear.
And for those of us who think abstract and all over the world, we have to learn how to be more linear. When I did the retreat, the hardest part for me, honest to gosh, the hardest part is staying in a line, because you have to have a beginning and you have to have an end, because other people don't understand your mentality. In this class, we don't have to do that.
We all have ADHD.
Well, it's that if I start the class, I try and start with a broad picture. And so I'm trying to find out from you what you're thinking about. Well, that's going to go all over the board. So at some point, we have to make it a line to understand. So we may discuss all over the board, but in the end, we have a line. Because then we start to see how it all works together. And so for us, even when we study Genesis, I said to you, remember that verse. Because the sin of the Amorites has got to be completed before they're going to go in the promised land. Which lets us know when we stand at that water, when they've gone over in the promised land, we have to remember all the things that were promised from that point all the way up have to happen at that there. So you are going all over the board. You're going back to Genesis 15. You're going to the part where in Deuteronomy, you go to what they say about the priests. You go and learn what they say about the Ark of the Covenant. Why did Joshua get to sit himself right before the Ark of the Covenant when the priests can't do that? Those are questions. So then I have to think, okay, so how do we make continuity out of that? It takes a lot of work, ladies, for us to be able to pull all those things from the Old Testament and tie them all in together so that we can understand them. Evidently, the head leader had a different position than did the priest, which may answer our Saul question. God still condemned him, but the people didn't get the right to do that. God did it. And we don't get that if we don't get that leaders belong to God. And boy, if you think teachers incur a stricter judgment, think about that one. Okay, so what else did we see in 5 as we start moving this way? We saw that the Canaanites' hearts melted, but their hearts melted because of Israel. We know
the great circumcision.
We have circumcision. Why is circumcision important there?
Identified Israel with God.
Which identifies them with what, though? It's not just God.
With
the covenant. So he's reinstating, not that it's ever gone, but this generation doesn't know much about it. Obviously they don't, because they haven't even been circumcised. And what did God say about circumcision?
8 days.
And if you don't get circumcised, you are going to be judged and cut off. Was that true? It was. Okay, so we're bringing the covenant back. That's circumcision, whether I spelled it right or not.
And then also they reinstated the Passover.
Okay, why and where and when?
Right after they came across.
Once they were in Canaan.
While they were resting up.
So why then?
Because it was that time of year.
Yeah,
it was the
part of the day. Really,
we're not sure it really was on the right day.
It says in verse 9, because today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you.
Which was, what was the reproach of Egypt?
The
slavery.
Slavery.
The Passover was initiated there.
Do you kind of get the feeling we're actually going backwards? God is redeeming backwards the stuff that they lost? Starting with that? They started with being slaves. they had Passover initiated. They were but prior to that, they had the covenant. You know, he's kind of going back and redeeming it all. So, how did you say it? So we have Passover, we have circumcisions, where he's basically redeeming the whole process, isn't he?
Well, and the manna.
Restoring it,
yeah. Yeah, and the manna seed.
The manna stopped.
That's what hit me was that now they
it occurred to me that they were still getting manna clear up to that point.
Yeah. Years
of well, they kind of had to. You have 2.5 million people going across the desert. Where are they getting food for one day, let alone for 40 years? It has to come from something else.
Just forget
but
about
it's
that
interesting,
you
know, they never killed their herd, evidently.
Why? Why do you suppose not?
Because evidently that was a symbol of their wealth or whatever.
Or the seed
the
for Passover the next generation.
They killed the lamb. Mm-hmm.
Well, they didn't know what they killed. All they knew how to do was eat manna. Nobody talked
well,
about
it. But it's also, God didn't let them eat that.
No.
It's a seed, guys. It's the seed. It's like a farmer who, during our cross across from the East Coast to the West Coast, he doesn't eat his seed, even if he's close to starving. Because if he gets to new land with no seed, guess what? He will starve. So they kept the seed.
Cattle.
To start, and the cattle were like seed to start the new herds that are about to be there. They don't know what's there.
Well, and they had to have sacrifices.
Which we got that picture with the ark, didn't we? Mm-hmm. Why on the ark? Did they take 7 of the clean animals? Because they were going to be sacrificed.
Yes.
They still had to have some that weren't. So we're beginning to see this picture flowing. Okay, we get to chapter 6, and if you want me to put anything else there, let me know. We get to chapter 6, and what is, did you have a title on chapter 6?
So we forgot the captain of the Lord.
Thank you. I'm going to make him read, red, if I can find red, yep. Captain of the Lord of Hosts.
I have just a quick question because my memory is not good. Where he says, take off your sandals in the place you're standing on holy ground. Didn't they say that? Didn't he say that to Moses at the burning bush?
Yeah,
at the
burning bush.
He did.
Yeah.
Isn't that cool? Yeah. I think he also said it at the mountain, didn't he?
Yeah.
I love that.
Which is telling us what? Which is telling us when God does what God is doing, it is holy, and we need to give that.
I like that word.
Okay, so, Jeff, what did we title this one?
Oh, 5?
Mm-hmm.
Chapter 6?
5. Wow. We'll get to 6 next.
5. Circumcising
men, manatee.
God will provide.
God will provide. I did, was it? No, it wasn't concentration.
Concentration.
It was circumcision. There's another C. I don't remember. What did I... Well, I have it here. Oh, crossing, circumcision, and Passover. Just because it was basic and it was down there and it just helped me remember. Not too well because I forgot crossing. I kept struggling with trying to put consecrate in there and it isn't in that chapter. So what did you do? What did you title chapter 6? What's it about? Okay, so let's put that up there.
Well, that's what I was thinking about because in the VeggieTales, everybody goes around the wall, and I was like, I don't think that's true.
No, they say in here they go over right through it. It says it.
Yes.
Okay, so what happened here? Tell me about Jericho first. Okay, Jericho was shut tightly. Why?
Because
of the
sons of Israel, no one went out and no one came in.
You got your H.
Where? For what?
Jericho.
C-H-O.
There you go.
Do you ever say the H? Do you say Jericho?
So you learn phonics.
No, I taught phonics. That's the part of the problem is I don't write things I don't hear. I write what I hear.
Because it doesn't obey the rules.
Because it doesn't obey the rules. And I am dyslexic to start out with. So I have to go by the rules. And if it ain't a rule, I don't get it. Okay, that's why Grace has to help me, because she remembers those things.
She was busy. I felt
thank you.
I think verse 2 is important because the Lord says to Joshua that he's given Jericho into your hand, and he's going to die warriors.
Okay, what is the most important two words in that little section that I have read?
The Lord said.
Because in chapter 7, Lord doesn't say nothing. It's Joshua who says. Oh, this is a terrible thing.
What's that shut tightly?
Huh?
Shut what? Tightly.
Verse 1.
The walls.
It means the doors are locked, the ground is closed, okay, you can't get in, and no one can get out.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm verse 1 and 6.
That's all it's trying to say is they're not letting people out. They're not letting people in because they don't know if those spies will get in again, you know?
Has it ever named those two spies?
No.
But it's kind of interesting who she married.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
does she marry one of the spies?
He kind
of
looked in there when he got her the first time and went, and faithful. Could well have been. It would have had to have been somebody of the royal class, because well, if Francine Rivers thought it was.
The books are accurate.
A little speculation there, but I do enjoy her. Okay, so Lord said to Joshua, and Joshua said it to who?
The people.
So again, God is using, like he did Moses, and which at that point should have taught Joshua what?
Wait for God
to talk, or go to God with your questions. And he's still this kind of young kid. He's not young, but he's a young leader.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a new leader. And so he still hasn't quite got the system down, because he doesn't use it in the next chapter. He got a little full of their win. So they marched around. They did everything. Okay, so we'll have the march
7 times.
Well, everything is so specific, which is what God does.
Right.
Very specific.
Very, and he uses 7. Why 7, guys?
Number kind of indicates completeness.
That's what 7 means in the Bible. It's the same thing. When you go to Revelation and other places, when it calls the Antichrist 666, it's because it is he looks close to perfection, but he ain't there. It's that angel of light picture. And so you can't look by what you see. You have to, again, keep learning character. Keep learning character. Same with us, guys. We are to be growing in character to look more and more like Christ. So when you trust somebody, it's because you can trust their character.
So
if you can, go ahead.
7 equals completion, and is 3 perfection?
The 3 core. Well, I don't know about that. You mean because of the Trinity?
Some say perfection, some say triune.
Yeah, I just think because the 3, it's that picture of the tripod and everything else that's more stable than a 4. But you know, it's God, so. I don't want to speculate too much on that one.
Tied up in numbers.
Yeah.
But you've got down march on 7 days.
Yeah.
But on the 7th day, they marched 7 times.
Right. I'm just not writing everything down. You get to write it down in your little list.
Yeah.
If I wrote everything down, we don't have room for it. We would do what I like to do, which is have 9 boards around the room. And then I would move. You know, when we were in the other room, I always used 2 boards and I filled them up. So I am being limiting.
Well, can't we have them move this over for 2 boards?
Yeah, we're going to do that by next week.
You don't know why we can't have a rolling board. That's right.
Well, you know what? I'm going to try again. I'll tell you why we might be able to, because the reason they said no before was there was a class in there, and there's no class in there anymore. So I'll talk to Rusty and see what.
This is a storage problem.
The class can use
No, you have to understand, we also work with other people.
Yeah, right.
And other people have said no to me. So now the system has changed, and so I'm going to ask the other person if it can change back. And we're going to go along with the powers that be.
Make that whole thing a board on the wall.
See, these are the hearts of teachers. not everybody is a teacher. Not everybody thinks that walls should be used for those things. If you'll notice, there are a lot of other things on the wall. Why? Because there are other parts of the body that are doing different things. So we work with people. We don't do just what Kit wants.
I know, but there's nothing else on that side.
That could be a good suggestion. Ellen, you can make that suggestion to your beloved. We could just move this over and get another one.
Yeah, that would be reasonable.
Yeah, yeah. And that way we'd all work together on that one.
I wouldn't fix it, but having the U in a different shape.
We can't have everything we want.
No, no, we can't.
Moving on.
Right. Right now we got stuck at the seventh day, so what happens after that? Say the walls fall. Did I put that yet? Oh, I thought I had already done that. Okay, well, no, I hadn't.
Yeah, but the Ark of the Covenant is marching with.
Right.
Why is that important? Because it's the presence of the Lord. And just as you said, isn't it interesting that as that's the gold that picks up the light and everything else shining all over the place? It had to be. No, that's a really good picture.
And they didn't know what the Ark of the Covenant was, so they're just looking down.
For 6 days, what are these crazy people doing walking around the outside of this building? Don't they know that we have really strong walls? How many people have ever lived in a brick house?
Me?
If you're an East Coast person, you have.
Southern.
Well, it's East Coast. Because a lot of us, we mostly had bricks in Michigan. That was mostly bricks. But brick, and somebody was saying it, if you were, that gunk that's in the middle does wear out after. Even if it's 100 years, it's going to wear, the mortar wears out. And you have to replace it, which doesn't make sense in a house as big as some houses are. But it does wear out, especially if you have a lot of heat and wet.
And ivy.
And cold.
Any kind of vine.
Oh, yeah.
Suck it out. They'll suck the moisture out of it, and it'll crumble.
Well, not to mention those little vines go right into the roots go right into the...
Beautiful walls of ivy growing on brick buildings.
No, you do on a lot of schools.
Yeah.
Well, they have found, if you'll notice a lot of times, about every 15 years, they cut the base of the thing and let it regrow, and they pull the whole thing down for that reason. It does. And it breaks down the mortar. But it sure looks cool in the process.
It's not a traditional brick. The places in Arizona and New Mexico they're huge.
Stucco.
But the blocks are huge.
Right.
And they're made like with a clay type thing.
Yeah, they're like adobe.
Yeah, adobe. That's what I'm thinking.
Right.
Real thick. And that's what I picture when I see this.
Yeah.
Well, they got it from the Indians who knew how to use the adobe and built their homes. Okay, so what happens after this? So now they get a discussion. Did he not warn them before they even went in?
Yeah.
What did he warn them? So he gave them a warning.
Verse 18.
You shall not keep
for yourselves
from the things under the ban.
No, it says keep yourselves from.
Right. And how do you start that?
Yes.
How do you do that? We got taken back to Genesis. How does that apply?
What do you mean?
When we looked at Genesis 3. Didn't you have that?
Oh, yes.
I had it. So what is this sequence of events that leads to sin?
You stop.
What did they tell him? Don't even think about it.
Right.
It reminded me of that passage in James where it said, you know, God can't be tempted. God don't tempt you.
Verse 2 through 3 is through 4 of chapter 1.
You're enticed by your own lust.
And lust gives birth to sin, and when sin is achieved, it accomplishes death. That's the picture of the people in this land. Just remember that, guys. When you're, I mean, when we look at things from our perspective, we keep, and by the way, we're Christians, so our focus is different. What is our focus? Our focus is to pass out the gospel. But there are those who will reject the gospel, which is in essence what has happened to the people in the land. They've rejected the gospel. And they've rejected it through generations where it's just a dark place. And the Amorites were the last ones. So keep remembering that this isn't just sweet little innocence. My heart goes, but they were babies and there were, but the Lord knows what I don't know. He knows what they would be when they grow up. He knows that they are going to be enticing to the band. They're gods, they're idols, they're everything else. That's why he tells them to make no covenants with people in the land. And we're about to jump into dealing with one of those situations in our next part of the study. So they had a warning, they had a ban, but there was a system. You know, first you let that thought into your mind. When we see with Eve, Satan enticed her by saying things like, did he really say that? That doesn't sound like a big deal, but she listened. Then he goes, well, all he has to do is get the hook in. And the hook is usually quite simple, not a big deal. It doesn't seem like that bad. But she listened. And she did not go back to God and ask him about this. She listened and thought she had enough in herself, and then he enticed her further. Because the more he has a little bit, he can keep adding more and more and more until finally she says, well, this looks good for, but there was a whole process there.
Yes.
So
she was deceived. This man was not deceived. He was told before, do not do that.
Well, so was Eve. Yeah. Don't eat the fruit on that tree.
Well, no, she wasn't. She was told. I think probably she was told that through Adam.
Oh, well, yeah.
Because we don't see her being the one that heard that. But regardless,
she knew what she was doing.
But who is the one who gets?
Adam
is the one who God talks to, because he's the one who is supposed to protect her, or whatever. But they both lose. I mean, they both lose. Nope. I mean, you cannot be Eve and watch your first son die because of jealousy and not have grief.
Yeah.
And you don't even understand that. Yeah.
I think that this few passages of scripture and other references too are so important, because we haven't changed. Our personality hasn't changed. And these same little principles apply in us being induced into making wrong decisions in our life. You think of something, well, this probably isn't wise, but then you begin to justify it.
And God will forgive me. I'm just that far. I'm just that far.
Made a wrong decision.
But watch it out here.
Well, and that's why things like adultery, they don't start with that person showing up and meeting the other person. Mm-hmm. They start way back when somebody first entertained the idea in their mind of, I wonder.
Well, actually, it could be even sooner than that. It could be, my husband isn't.
Right. Yeah.
Because there isn't any one of us in this room that couldn't come up with something that my husband isn't. But if we focus on that, well, you know, it can be anything. Maybe you think he should have the toothpaste. Somebody else goes, well, that's not a big deal. Well, it is to that person.
Yeah.
You know, and somebody else, you know, we each have our different things. He's not home for dinner on it. I mean, and so when you focus on it, but see, when it starts out, it's just a little thing.
Mm-hmm.
But that never stays little. So it doesn't just start with that. It starts with discontentedness.
Yeah.
Please. That's what we're here for. No, that's what we're here for.
In the early days of our marriage, Daniel and I were married for 43 years. And one of the things he always did that would just absolutely drive me nuts is I could have the clothes hamper sitting right there, and he put the dirt right beside it every single time. And that just, you know, bugged us out. But I got caught up into when I'd get with the other ladies in the church or just friends, you know. Back in that day, you kind of husband bashed, and they called him the old man, you know, and he does this and all this stuff, you know. And I'd come home from one of those gatherings, and I'd just be mad as an old wet hen at him. And he wouldn't have a clue what he'd done.
But that
convicted me of that.
That is exactly what Satan did with her, didn't he?
Yes.
He did what the old hens who were in the church did with you.
I got to say why he was doing it.
Why he, Daniel was
yeah.
doing it? Oh, because he always thought he'd put him back on again. But well, I think it was years.
It could even be. It could even be that he didn't want to dirty the other nicer stuff in the thing. I mean, you know.
But you know, God took me. This is how it all worked out. I'll hurry. God.
No, you don't need to hurry.
Bible study class at church, and the pastor's wife, she was teaching a book called "Lord, Change Me." And I thought, oh, well, yeah, I'm going to go there, and I'm going to pray for Daniel, and we're going to get this straight down. It only took about two lessons, and I realized, oh, God brought me here to change me.
But see, there is a process there, and that process starts with discontent.
Yeah.
And guys, we're not in heaven. Get to point. There are things that are going to be, we can be discontented about forever. On all sorts of levels, with each other. There's not one of us in this room that's going to be perfect in relationship with anyone else in this room. It just is not going to happen. So this is where we have to remember we are covered by grace. And is this thing that important? Well, maybe it is. And maybe, I mean, if and my husband is not in this world at all, but let's say it was adultery that was the problem. I am discontented with this. But who do I bring it to? I have to bring it to the Lord and then take the steps from there that He gives me. Discontented is where our sin starts. So when we hear, we get to Achan, what is Achan's statement?
He saw it. He saw that mantle and it looked really nice and he wanted it.
He had new clothes in 30 years with a beautiful mantle. He buried it in the sand. Isn't that what we do with sin? We don't sin and then wear it proudly. Well, the gold and the silver were dedicated to the Lord, and he took that.
Yeah.
But let's think about this for a minute, because it didn't just start with that mantle.
No.
If your heart is set towards God, you can look at that mantle and go, that is very beautiful.
Eye of healing.
But you don't have to go past that at all. I mean, how many times have you guys gone somewhere, like your husband has said, we cannot afford a new house, even though you would love a new house, or a new place or something, you can't afford it. So what I have learned is when we go out, I will say, first thing, I'm not asking for this, but look at the shape of this, or the colors that they used, or the texture they used, and I don't have to lust after it. Because I can enjoy what I've seen without having to make it mine. That's what coveting is. What you have, I want. So now here's a man who wasn't even in Egypt. Achan? He's lived his entire life on the desert. He didn't even know about that stuff they had in Egypt unless he heard the tales. So, what would his discontentedness be? Where would it have started? I'm living in a tent. Possibly don't even have a wife. Because
eating manna for 40 years.
Eating manna for 40 years. My kids deserve more.
Well.
Yeah. Whatever that means, it can be just the next step up from you. Doesn't even have to be, I want all of Egypt. It can be, all I wanted was a mantle. That's all I wanted, was a mantle. So my kids could see, or whatever the excuse is. And we don't know if he had a wife, but if he did have a wife, she did not get stoned.
She didn't?
There, it doesn't say anything about a wife. So either she's gone, or she didn't participate, one or the other, we don't know. But why the kids?
Because they knew their dad had hidden.
They had to have known their dad had hidden. It's in a tent. Have you ever had a tent and hide a mantle there that you wouldn't know was in there?
And silver and gold.
And silver and gold.
He concealed it in the earth. So he dug a hole.
But it says here his sons, his daughters, his oxen, donkeys, tents. all that belonged to him.
Well, what were they supposed to do in Jericho?
To me, that
what were they supposed to do with Jericho?
He is married.
Oh, no, I think he was married. Was married, is married, but it doesn't say anything about a wife there.
I didn't notice that.
It doesn't necessarily mean it was because the kids were guilty either, because the donkeys were.
Well, the reality, no, but they are part, once he has aligned himself with that stuff, he has aligned himself with Jericho, is what he's done. Because this all is part of their religious system, their idolatry, everything. And what did God have Israel do to this first city-state that they took? What did he have them do with everything?
Everything was to be destroyed.
Everything was to be destroyed. The gold and silver were to be taken for the king's for the Lord's treasury, but everything else was beaten. Now, that doesn't go with the rest of the countries they go in. So why?
Somewhere that it was like the first fruits.
Right. Right. It, exactly. He's setting a precedent.
He's testing them.
He's testing them. How far will they go? And what's interesting is they've had nothing.
Right.
So it isn't even like they've lost something and they're trying to get it back. It's they're wanting something that the others around them have.
Well, and the deception, too, in Achan's mind of, how could he not know God would find out, or God would know?
But that's exactly the point.
Yeah.
But that's the point.
Yeah.
The point. Have you ever heard of, I mean, somebody just said it earlier in one of the stories, you heard of pastors who do things that are terrible?
Yeah.
My question, my first question always has to be, do they really believe? Because if you believe that there is a God who will hold you accountable, which he says he will to all of us, does that not particularly mean somebody in leadership? I have to come down to they don't believe. I'm not trying to say they don't have any salvation. I'm not even getting into that issue. That's between them and God. I can say, though, they don't believe. They don't believe he will hold them accountable. And it, and us in the New Testament, we go, well, he'll forgive us.
Yeah.
If we say we're sorry, he'll forgive us. Excuse me. Achan confessed his sin. Did he really?
No.
What did he say? What did he say?
I saw him.
But what did he say? What did he call that stuff that he took?
I see.
Well, he called it something. And that, and the name that he called it tells you how he viewed it.
The spoil?
He called it the spoil and the plunder.
Mm-hmm.
When you remember back in when Abraham went through to get Lot, and they went through the war of all the kings, and that's chapter 14 in Genesis.
Yeah.
And at the end, they divided the plunder and the spoil, but they couldn't take certain things. It's because part of being a warrior is, instead of getting paid $52 a day, they get paid in the plunder and the spoil, which tells you he was identifying this as plunder and spoil.
Yeah, his due.
His due. And they weren't giving it to him, so he was going to take it.
Even though he knew the gold and the silver was supposed to be God, I feel sorry for somebody that stole directly from God.
So he stole both from the people and God's word, and then from God. And again, I have to go back to, did he believe? No. He did not believe. So when he was judged, he was judged on the basis. Remember, we said this. We do this. We'll do this all the way through the Bible. There's, those of you who are at the retreat, there's that cord that is man. But that cord can unwind. And on one side, you have those of faith. And the other hand, you have those who don't believe. This will be judged. It has to be, because their God is a God of justice. We don't like it. I honestly, I mean, I come out of a Jewish community. I'm not Jewish on any part of me. I always wanted to be, but I'm not. And I literally, when I came to the Lord, grieved for Hitler. Now, that sounds weird, because he was a vile, vile man. But if God couldn't have saved a Hitler, he really saved me, and God could have saved a Hitler. If what had happened? If he repented and he confessed his sin, he may have died for it, because but he didn't. Even to the end, he said he's not even going to let the allies come in and take his life. He's going to take his own life because he was always in control. But I still grieved for that.
Like in verse 13, it was like the day before. The Lord told him to rise up, concentrate yourself, get rid of it.
That would have been an opportunity for Achan to say, I got it.
See, that's the point, isn't it? And what is why did they need to didn't they consecrate themselves in chapter 3?
Yeah, but they have sinned. They needed to repent, and they need to purify themselves. So they needed
exactly.
To sin was
mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, they knew it.
They knew. And they knew there was
because what did Joshua do? He read them all of what Moses said. Mm-hmm. Didn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
No, after.
After that?
Well,
so he's teaching them.
The Lord had already told them.
But the Lord, the baseline is don't do this, and they did.
It was out there.
Just like with Adam and Eve. How much did Adam and Eve know about God? We don't know how long they lived before they disobeyed, but they knew they were not to do this, and they did.
Well, and again, this is there. That would have been his opportunity to say, I sin. But he waits until he's confronted.
So when he confessed, was he confessing his sin? No, yeah. He got caught. It's like your kid who finally says, yeah, it was me when it's under his pillow, you know? Excuse me?
Yeah, they're just sorry they got
caught. Yeah, I did. Yeah. And so now I've said it, so let me alone.